The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 5th, 1984 in Gold Fort. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 66.
Kuroti bachalang pangulangayate giring at kripata mahang bande sri gurung dinatarinam paramanandhamadhavam. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Purport. Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the fifth chapter, 529. That when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the good results of sacrifice and penance, that he is the proprietor of all universal manifestations, and that he is the real friend of all living entities, then only can one have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. However much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. Thus end the text 66, chapter 2 of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the matter of the contents of the Gita summarized. So here, Krishna has first summarized, if somebody is satisfied in Krishna consciousness, that all of the threefold miseries of material existence cease to exist. On the other hand, someone else who is not connected with the Supreme, even if they try to achieve some kind of spiritual consciousness, that it's not possible for them to have a steady mind. To have a steady mind, one requires transcendental intelligence. That's not possible without Krishna consciousness. So therefore, everything is in a very turbulent state, wherein it's not possible to have any peace. Kamala dhala jhala jivana tala mala. Description is given just as a drop of water is floating on top of a lotus leaf. If you've ever seen a picture of a drop of water on top of a lotus leaf floating on the water, It just spins around the top, always moving. It's very unsteady. It's much more aesthetic and smooth. But in its own way, it's like if you have a very hot pan and you throw a drop of water in it. That's very violent. And lotus leaf is, of course, much more smooth and passive in its own way. But that drop of water just spins on the top. It has no fixed place. Like that, unless the mind is anchored to the lotus feet of Krishna, unless it's fixed on Krishna's lotus feet in Krishna consciousness, then the mind will always be susceptible to be swept away by any one of the six senses, including the mind. So as a result, the mind cannot be steady. Therefore, one cannot be peaceful. Verses, it also explains, it's like a boat which is on the ocean and it's being swept away by the wind. If a boat loses its rudder, steering mechanism in the back, then the whole boat just gets blown away. So if our intelligence is not fixed in Krishna consciousness, then even if we try to remain in some aloof position, in a so-called transcendental position, the senses, the mind will always tend to rest somewhere. Just like a bird that can't fly forever, it's going to settle on some tree. So if we don't take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, the mind is going to take shelter of one of the senses. And then the senses will be agitating the mind, will be drawing the mind away in this way. One again gets drawn into material consciousness. Just like Vishwamitra, he was born a kshatriya, but he wanted to become a brahmana. At first, the society wouldn't accept him, but he was a kshatriya. How could he become a brahman? But the Guru said it's possible, and following their advice, he did some tapasya. And he was finally recognized as a brahmana. But Vishishta Rishi didn't accept him as an equal. He was proud that he was a brahmana. But Vishishta was himself much greater than an ordinary brahmana. He was a Brahmarishi. Apparently, in the level of Brahmanhood, there's different stages of potency. From a brahmana to a rishi, to a Maharishi, finally a Brahmarishi, who can go up to the planet of Lord Brahma even. So, this is a very long story. There's off and on some competition between Vishishta and Vishwamitra, where Vishwamitra is trying to gain recognition, trying to advance. One point, he, of course, had such a scene with the demigods. One, he would do tapasya and he'd gain his strength and he'd become so powerful. So one time there was a sudra and he prayed that he wanted to go to Swarga. He wanted to go to the heavenly planets. His name was Harishchandra. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So then Vishishta, Vishwamitra He sent him by his mystic power up to Swargaloka. But Indra said, this person is not qualified. He hasn't gone through the necessary pious activities. He doesn't have that type of karma. He should come here. He sent him back. And then Vishwamitra had kept him up. So he was halfway between Swarga and the earth, between the Indraloka, just hanging there. And Vishwamitra was very angry that Indra was refusing to accept the person he had sent. So then, since he couldn't, but Indra is also not an unpowerful person. So then finally, Vishwamitra, he created an entire duplicate heavenly planets. Said, all right, you won't go in that, then I'll make my own. So with his mystic power, he created an entire heavenly planets and gave those to Harishchandra. So then that confused Indra, that to have simultaneously, just like even in Switzerland, I'm sure if you had two Berns, two Zurichs, it would confuse everyone. The old Zurich would become envious of the new one. You see, something like that. But probably even more confusing when you're talking about the whole planets. So Indra's whole position was becoming a little bit dubious. So then to end the confusion of having the whole duplicate planetary systems, he agreed, he made an agreement with Vishwamitra, all right, we'll take Harishchandra into the Indraloka, you please cancel out these duplicate planets. But in the meantime, Vishwamitra lost all of his, because by tapasya, he had gained so much power, he's completely expended. After all that, because it wasn't in a pure devotional service, so when you're doing devotional service, the more you give to Krishna, the Krishna again supplies more and more energy. But this Vishwamitra was doing not in devotional service. So his energy was depleted, he was finished. Again he had to do tapasya to build up his strength. So somewhere in one of those many, you see, episodes like this, as he's moving up in the levels of rishihood. So Indra, at one point, said, we have to take care of this person. So he sent one of his society girls, is it Maneka, to see if she could distract him. And even though he was so much absorbed in meditation, when he heard her ankle bells, it broke through his meditation, his austerities. And as a result, Shakuntala was born. So, said that even the mind is, you see, very advanced with austerities and everything. If it's not fixed in Krishna consciousness, it can always be drawn away. Sometimes if somebody is coming up too fast, the demigods get afraid that maybe this person will want to take over our position. They may also obstruct or test. The same way there was an attempt to test Haridas Thakur, but because he was completely fixed in Krishna consciousness, he couldn't be distracted. Even so much so that Maya Devi herself came to try to distract Haridas Thakur. Even Lord Shiva has a difficult time in some ways. Anyway, of course he's transcendental position, but it's difficult. Of course nobody can resist except possibly Lord Shiva the attractions of Maya Devi. And but because of his complete absorption in Krishna consciousness, Haridas Thakur's mind remained fixed. Didn't leave the lotus feet of Krishna, didn't go to any of the senses. So by being fixed in Krishna, not taking shelter of any senses, only Maya can attract through the senses. When Haridas Thakur's total intelligence was fixed in Krishna's service, he wasn't at all taking shelter in any of the senses. So Maya Devi didn't have a hold. Rather, she also confided in him and she took initiation from him into chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Of course, we read in Bhagavatam that even great sages, you can't underestimate the power of these great sages. They're able to, through their austerities, they're able to do such wonderful things that, but sometimes because they're not 100% fixed in serving Krishna, they have some separate motive. It may be a good motive or it may be to elevate themselves, but the intention is not to give Krishna satisfaction. So as a result, there's also some karma. There's some reactions and some instability there. So we find in Bhagavatam, even Vishistamuni and Vishwamitra, one time they got to cursing each other, and they turned each other to ducks and birds or something like that. So they were such great sages that they became angry and lost their equilibrium, and thus they began cursing each other. So here they became ducks and things. So apparently before that, Vishwamitra one time he tried to curse Vishishtamuni, but that curse was caught by Vishishtamuni and his danda couldn't affect, because he said that you're not a Brahma Rishi, you're a Maharishi. You don't have the power over me. So then Vishwamitra, he again did a tapa. He went to Lord Brahma or something and he said, how can I become a Brahma Rishi? He had to do intense tapasyas and things. And finally Lord Brahma came and said, he said, I want to be a Brahma Rishi. So he gave him the blessing. He could become a Brahma Rishi. Then he came to Vishistha and said, now I am also a Brahma Rishi. Vishistha said, yes, congratulations. Now you are a Brahma Rishi. But don't think that that is the ultimate. There's something higher. Vishnu is something higher. Because all along he'd been thinking that that was the highest. If I can become a Brahma Rishi, then I'll have made it. That's the topmost position. He says, what is higher? You know, he's almost felt cheated after so many years of tapasya and work. I mean, not years, but you see, yugas, by our calculation. Then Vishistamuni said, no, the Narayana Purayanas, the pure devotees of Krishna, they are far above even the Brahma Rishis. So, even a mental son of Brahma, like Durvasa Muni, he was defeated by Ambarish Maharaj. So even Ambarish Maharaj, he was attacked, but his mind was steady because he was fixed in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness is so sublime that even though one doesn't have this, that's not necessarily that one has all this superficial tapasyas and things, but by complete dedication at the lotus feet of Krishna, by complete surrender and service, one becomes fixed. And one is under the complete shelter of Krishna. And Krishna is Yogeshwara. He's the master of all mystic powers. In our sampradaya, you see, therefore, we are not concentrating on these mystic powers. Some yogis teach their disciples that they should meditate so they can levitate. And they come up a few inches and then bounce down and they think that this is a great achievement. But Prabhupada gave the example that once there was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had two, I believe, one or two German disciples. And he mentioned that what inspired that he was that scholar was studying Sanskrit, and what inspired him about Krishna's devotional service, I don't know if there's any trace of them, if there's been any ever research, whatever happened to those. You did? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that he said that whatever the eightfold mystic system is, they want to get smaller than the smallest, greater than the great, bigger than the biggest, levity, all these things. This already the modern scientists, they have the same objective. Through their microscopes, they're trying to get smaller. Through their telescopes and rockets, they want to go farther, get bigger. Through their jet planes, they're able to travel. The objectives are the same. So these mystic powers are also material. It's not that they're spiritual. Actually, to develop Krishna consciousness, that is pure spiritual desire. So in our disciplic succession, this mystic powers and such things are always considered on a, you see, subordinate level, not really important. One example, one time in Ramuna, you know that when Lord Rama was coming back from Sri Lanka after having rescued Sita in the Pushpa Viman, they came over Orissa on their way to Ayodhya. And there was one very beautiful place. Sita said, let's stop there. It was all coconut trees and mangoes and very luscious and beautiful. So they just stopped there. And in the discussion, they were having a discussion, and Ram was telling about his future avatar, where he would appear as a cowherd boy and be playing a flute. So Sita wanted to know what that avatar would look like. So they stopped at that place, and there, with his arrow, Lord Ram carved a deity of Krishna in a stone with the arrow from his, and to show Sita Devi. That deity is being worshipped in Ramuna as Gopinath. It is the Chir Gopina deity, the deity that stole the condensed milk for Madhavendra Puri. So the seva or the worship of that deity came to the student of the six Goswamis, an associate of Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit. So his chief disciple was Rasika Ananda Das. And one time some yogi, he apparently came to Ramuna, and all the villagers, the pujaris there tell this story, that there's a samadhi there to the stick of the neem twig that Rasikananda brushed his teeth with. So why have they put that into a samadhi? So they explained that one day all the villagers came running to Rasikananda that, come immediately, there's a yogi who is flying to the village on a stick, on a branch. Well, Rasikananda was brushing his, early in the morning he's brushing his, you know, in India they take a twig. It's called neem. The Lord Chaitanya appeared under neem, so the same neem, to take a small section of the branch and you chew on it. And then it because it's a soft branch, it becomes like a brush. In fact, even the modern medical dental surgery, they say the best motion for brushing the teeth is a vibrationary circular motion. So when you brush on with a twig, the only motion you can do is this vibrationary circular motion. But anyway, that's another point. Everything Vedic has got its perfections. So he was brushing with a twig, just in case. It might seem very primitive, but the neem branch itself contains all kinds of juices which are very good for the, not only for the teeth and the gums and everything, but they're good overall for the airs in the body. There's a story about a man who walked to some place, and on the way he kept using this babul, another type of tree they used to brush his teeth. By the time he reached that place, he got leprosy. Because although that's very good for your teeth, it's very bad for the airs in the body. Then he was told on the way back, you just brush your teeth with neem. And by the time he reached back home, he was cured of the leprosy, because the neem is very good for the airs in the body. Anyway, so he was brushing his teeth with a twig, not to get off the point. Not very interested. And they kept pressing him, though, no, no, you should come and see this yogi. He's flying. He's flying. Just, you know, villagers, they're very simple. And our padayatra in the Suhotra Maharaj was saying, I think that the most simple people in the entire world are these villagers. Very simple people. They're just very innocent, very simple. So when they see someone flying, you see, even when they see somebody walking, thousands of them come. To see somebody flying, you see. So they kept, oh no, you should see this. He's flying. And Rasikananda said, this is not important. And he took his twig from his mouth and put it under his leg. And he flew around the ashram 4 or 5 times. This is not important. Simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Landed back down and finished brushing his teeth. So they took that twig and they put it in, made a little monument for it. So our acharyas, they don't stress these things because Krishna is the master of all mystic powers. So if you're carrying out Krishna's work, well, his will be done. Because these things also, they can become very distracting for the mind. So the devotees, they avoid. So in our devotional service, of course, previously to engage in this type of devotional service was especially organized by the brahmanas and by the twice-born people, the kshatriyas and the vaishyas, type of people who are born outside of Vedic culture normally would be really far from this kind of spiritual concept of life. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that he has given this special benediction that anybody, they can take to Krishna consciousness. I mean, they can get this mercy no matter what their previous qualification or disqualification may be. But normally it might be difficult to fix the mind on Krishna, but by this process of chanting, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. It is an engaging in the Sankirtan movement. It's quite easy to fix the mind on Krishna. Still, some effort has to be made on our part. We should try and depend on Krishna, and He'll also give us the intelligence. Teshang shatada juktanam bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogang tang yanu mamu vayanti te. And of course, we should follow the intelligence given by the bona fide spiritual master. Here, just like Sri Vishnupad Harigay Swami giving always such good intelligence for printing and distributing Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literatures, involving everyone in this spiritual sacrifice, so pleasing to the Lord. Like this, we follow the higher intelligence, avoiding that type of intelligence pulled by the material senses. Our material senses may always be pulling us how to enjoy the sense of touch, the taste, the hearing, the seeing, the mind, the smelling. But rather we engage how to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. In this way the mind becomes fixed, it becomes linked with Krishna's lotus feet, and therefore it doesn't become tossed about by these currents of material desire. Srila Prabhupada explained that as soon as we begin to desire something material, immediately we become in anxiety. So to avoid that anxiety, we should always desire to serve Krishna. This is essential. This is explained in this verse. If we're not connected with the Supreme, then we can't have a steady mind, can't have transcendental intelligence. No possibility of peace. If there's no peace, how can there be any happiness? So, this is a very important point. Tomorrow, we're observing Vamana, Dwadasi fast on Ekadasi. And I think you know about how Lord Chaitanya observed Ekadasi when he was 2 years old. This Ekadasi was always very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, when he was just 2 years old, hardly speaking, one day, see, normally Lord Chaitanya, he would cry, and then when the ladies would go, Hari Bol, Hari Bol! Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then he'd stop crying. But this day, even no matter what they did, he wouldn't stop. So after about 10, 15, 20, maybe half hour of chanting different, he wasn't, you see, for 2 years, right from that time he was just, he would always stop crying, but this time he wasn't stopping crying. So they called in Jagannath Mishra that, please, your son is not stopping crying. It was a new phenomenon. So then Jagannath Mishra put little Chaitanya Nimai on his lap and said, what's the matter? Why are you crying? He really stopped crying. He said that Jagadish Pandit and Hridoy Pandit are having a big feast today offered to the Lord for Ekadasi. And I want to have that prasad. Jagannath Mishra himself, he didn't know about any. He got no invitation. Because the... And how did a two-year-old son know? When Ekadasi, you know, it takes a few years to know about Ekadasi. You don't have children do Ekadasi normally. So they were, or they don't, even if they do, they don't, they just eat what you give them anyway. So they were astonished that, I mean, of course, Jagadish Pandit was Jagannath Mishra's close friend. But he lived about 2-3 kilometers away on the other side of the Jalangi, Saraswati River. And they hadn't informed of any. It was Ekadasi. But how did Lord Chaitanya, I mean little Nimai, how did he know about Ekadasi? They couldn't figure it out. Yeah, they hadn't taught him about Ekadasi at that point. And whether there was really a festival that day or if they didn't know anything. But he wasn't stopping crying. They went off to the house of Jagadish Pandit. So there, this was a once a year, maybe on the same day, I'm not sure, one of these days, because for the Lord, he doesn't have to observe Ekadasi. We observe Ekadasi. But we offer the Lord can take the grains. He will make separate offerings. So they were offering some special offering for the Lord on Ekadasi, but they would be taking the next day. And then they went there, and sure, there they had prepared like about 108 preparations. All little pots and in front of it, just in front of their deity. Jagannath Mishra was astonished. How did he know? No, I didn't even know. How did he get the information? So then he told Jagadish Pandit that Mr. Vishwambar Nimai, he had this thing happened. And then even Jagadish Pandit, he said that I didn't tell anybody because nobody can take the piece. It's a Ekadasi. It's just for the Lord. I tell everybody next day. So he took it that nobody knew anything, but he knew, therefore, somehow the Lord is acting through him, some kind of an Aresh or something. So he should take the, he can have the offering. And they're very happy to give all the offerings to little Nimai. You all set up with those slides? Where? You gonna show it in here? Too late? I mean, they didn't bring it in, so it wasn't on there. Anyway, so then Lord Chaitanya, he partook of that prasad, and both he and the Jagadish Pandit and Hridai Pandit, they were very overwhelmed. You see, in this way, Lord Chaitanya, even from 2 years old, he was actually encouraging everyone should follow this Ekadasi. He requested his mother, when he went to Jagannath Puri, that you, one of the few things he requested, you follow Ekadasi. We heard at one time the Pandas, the in Puri, they wanted to force Lord Chaitanya to take grain on Ekadasi. He says, prasad, you have to take it. Prasad, you can take tomorrow. He says, no, you have to take it now. So like there's some, so apparently, of course this is one of those things that the devotees in Puri say, but Lord Chaitanya bowed down to offer his respect to the prasad. He stayed in that position until the Ekadasi was over, then he got up and took the shot. This way, he was able to outsmart the Brahmanas. Lord Chaitanya, he set up the things. Unless you want me to just stop and wait while they get all the mechanics done. Or just keep going, they can set it up. So, the special purpose of Ekadasi is that we should increase our glorification of Govinda. That we don't take grains on Ekadasi. That's especially to help us to remember the lotus feet of Krishna. And that's why we also try to increase our chanting. Or, of course, if we're doing important service, then we go on, but that day is especially for making a little special effort to be a little more conscious about Krishna. One time somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that, maybe it was me, I think. About some of these special days like Ekadasi and Kartik month that you get, you know, so many bonuses you get. 1,000 times the 100 times or something like that, the effort during Kartik month by doing things as if you were doing another time. Similarly, Ekadasi, you get bonus points. So Srila Prabhupada, in fact, there's stories about how even a husband and wife, they were having a big argument over something and yelling and throwing things, just, you know, full out fight. Even in the Vedic times, I guess sometimes these things did happen. And as a result, they were just so absorbed in fighting and whatever, arguing with each other over some point, that they fighted through the whole day and through, they fought the whole day and through the whole night. And their fight, their argument didn't cease until the next day. They didn't eat, they didn't stop for anything. So because that day they had observed Ekadasi, happened that particular day was Ekadasi. They didn't eat the entire day. Both of them got liberated, got heavenly planets or something like that, just for, because they were just fasting, even though they were fighting with each other. So somehow each one of those Ekadasis, it says, has some name. It always says some Moksha Da Ekadasi. something happened on that Ekadasi, like that Ekadasi where husband and wife, they were having an argument, and then they forgot to eat that day because they were so angry at each other that they got elevated, because it happened that that day was Ekadasi. What to speak if somebody's doing it to please Krishna? What was there was something more? Oh, so then Prabhupada wrote me. So he wrote me that these special days, so they're like in the shops and the stores. Sometimes they have special clearance sale, discount sale. So this is to attract new customers. He says the regular customers, they're already coming. That the regular customers, they don't, whether they have, the certain clientele is there for the shop. So, but to attract the new customers on some holiday, they offer some discounts. So Srila Prabhupada said that you're already, those who are fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, that they're already getting the unlimited mercy. But for those who are in the material consciousness, so just to attract them, by all right, on this day you get some special bonus to get the new customers. So these facilities are offered. But for the devotees, they're anyway 24 hours, 365 days a year engaged, so that's not a problem. They're a regular customer. So that's, I've been using this with some of our folk members. I tell them, those who are just like beginners, I tell them that you should, because in the month of Kartik it says you don't take any Amish. So we don't take meat anyway. Amish means meat, fish, eggs. So we don't do that anyway. We're only taking pure vegetarian Krishna prasadam, rather. So we don't take, as almost like a token, we don't take urad dal. So I tell them you observe vegetarian for that period of time, hoping that this will then, if they can do it for a month, and that gives them some experience. Just like you're supposed to fast on Ekadasi, you have to have a feast on Dwadasi. So in Krishna consciousness, fasting and feasting. Whenever there's a fast, it's always followed by a feast. Or for the devotee, fasting or feasting, it's the same. It's all for Krishna. This is which? The Padayatra. This is the Krishna conscious Olympics. Immediate playback by satellite. This is only 3 days ago. September 2nd, this is in Dwaraka for the inauguration of our ISKCON Padayatra to prepare for the celebration of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 500th appearance anniversary. Dwaraka, of course, was in the sea, so the original Dwarka is disappeared after Krishna's left. But this is a very old temple which was constructed on the coast near the original place of Krishna's city, and everyone there is very devoted to Krishna. Take it easy. How come it just keeps moving? I got it in my hand, that's for sure. Yeah, it's better anyway. See, on the top, there's a flag there that's 16 meters long, and that flag was put up. It's a big flag hosting ceremony that was put up by ISKCON. So somehow some of the photos were double exposed, but this is the flag. We carried it and circumambulated the temple a few times, and then the flag was touched the lotus feet of the Dwarkadish deity. They didn't allow any photo to be taken. We took the blessings of Srila Prabhupada in his name and honor. Then they hoisted that flag to the top of the temple. There were about 150 devotees had assembled from all over the world. To this Ashtarada came from Germany to perform the fire sacrifice. Sotra Maharaj and two other German devotees are going for 21 days. So after taking the blessings of Dwarkadish, Lokanath Swami is right behind me. He's the commander-in-chief of the walking part of the Padayatra. Right now it's going to Gujarat, Yasomati Nandan is the regional secretary. So the first aspect is that we're installing the Nitai Gaur deities. So after bathing them with oil, as with a ghee, then they're having a preliminary bath with salt water from the ocean. This is right on the ocean side. So then, after requesting the Lord to come into the, or rather to manifest himself as the Archavatar, then we untie the eyes of the deity. We didn't have an ISKCON Tulsi nearby, so we had to borrow one from the local temple as well. So the first vision that Lord has is the Tulsi. Then I think only ISKCON has developed the science of Tulsi worship to that extent. There's an actual whole books and everything on it. But then after showing the Tulsi, we showed the Bhagavatam, we showed the Madranga drum and the Karatals to the Lord, and then they brought the cow and the calf, and the Lord had a darshan of the cow and the calf, and Srila Prabhupada. Here's where the Lord is being shown the Madranga. This is the eternal paraphernalia, the astra, or weapon of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for his pleasure, the first things that he sees are important. So then after seeing those selected articles and persons, then we began the bathing ceremony. This is Paul Vishnu Swami, assistant GBC for South East Asia countries. I believe this is Gopal Krishna Goswami, Srila Bhagavat Pad, Acharya for Canada and Bombay, Western India, Gujarat. I think that this is backwards. They're very beautiful deities made in the town where Srinivasacharya had his ashram. These deities from Bankura. We had over 108 clay pots of different substances which the deity was bathed in. The deities were bathed in. Purpose of the Padayatra, of course, this is a very special. The Lord Chaitanya is appearing just to be worshipped all over India, possibly all over the world, that Lord Chaitanya came before as a sannyasi, but this time he was coming through on the, we're taking him on the reverse route of his tour, but instead of coming as a sannyasi, he is coming as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his eternal associate, Lord Nityananda, Avadhut. When the people saw the deity, I mean, you can just see they're overwhelmed. The devotion, they just were speechless. And in fact, the people were, it's just like, Lord Chaitanya's mercy was so incredible that anyone who saw the deity later in procession, immediately they would start to chant. They became just stunned to see the pastime of Lord Chaitanya appearing, this whole Padayatra. I mean, you can actually see from the faces of the people, I mean, they're completely absorbed. So, and the devotees, they also tried to further engage the people. This is Nava Yogendra Swami, right? He's the president of Vrindavan. He's getting everyone chanting. And here's one of the brahmanas of the temple. He got inspired, so he started also to dance. Is your focus on this too? Yeah, it seems good. Some devotees came from Nigeria, different devotees from around the world. There we simultaneously had a fire sacrifice going on in a big kirtan. We wanted Lord Chaitanya to appear in the midst of a fiery kirtan. So it was a kind of a unique, in contrast with our more completely Vedic ceremonies, I mean, where we do the more ready. Here we had the Vedic aspect going on, but we wanted to keep the kirtan in the forefront because this was the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Just as Lord Chaitanya appeared on the full moon day, everyone was chanting. So I said that I won't call the Lord unless everyone is singing and dancing. So we had about a few hundred people all jumping up and down and dancing. Nitai go premanandi hari hari bo. Of course, there was over 108 preparations offered. Here's the arti of the Lord. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their lotus feet, and the small Utsavmurti. So now everything is getting ready for the procession. Of course, this offering was also for Radharani's appearance. Celebration was observed on that same day. The very day that Lord Chaitanya is appearing, that very day he is going to begin his 6,000 kilometer trek, re-traversing the key points on his six-year tour of western, southern, and eastern India. The Lord's compassion and beauty, it's just anyone who saw that came in the presence of those deities, they could experience some very sublime mercy. I've been present at so many Ratha Yatras, but the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda was so intense that you didn't have to ask the people to chant. They just spontaneously started to chant. Some people just seeing, somehow they were just brought to tears. I never saw anything like it before. So before leaving on our, today, that first day we had to walk 8 kilometers. So before leaving we respected a little prasadam. This picture, you just have to, Kala Krishna, put them in the left to right. We also, they distributed prasadam to the brahmanas. They invited 5,000 brahmanas. This is the few of them, but many of them came and they were really happy to accept the prasadam. Before, while they're getting everything ready outside, this is about 4 p.m, we had a special Dharma Sabha discourse on Lord Chaitanya. Different devotees from around the world were there speaking. Sotra Maharaj from Germany and Sridhar Maharaj from Canada and Bombay and myself, different people, few short talks. But most of the people already gathered outside where the deities were being taken to the to their chariot. And there were already thousands of people gathered outside. So, but we were telling those who were interested something about Lord Chaitanya. Then, what I was telling you about? Yeah. This is for the VSS. This is a picture of the photographer of VSS. Oh, from both sides. We, together, Gopal Krishna Goswami and myself, we cut the ribbon inaugurating the... You couldn't take a picture of the main deity of Dwarkadish, but there are some sub-deities of the Lord. This is one of the others. It seems to be double exposed. So from that ancient town of Dwaraka, here now the Lord is on his chariot, which will be pulled by bullock carts and devotees. And literally thousands of people have gathered, newspaper, men, radio, television, cameramen were also there. The Lord is taking their seat, where they'll be for some time to come. The head pujari of the Dwarkadish temple came out and garlanded Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, with all respect. Srila Prabhupada ki! Of course, Prabhupada had always expressed how he wanted to go on a padayatra in India. In 1977 and even earlier he had expressed he wanted to go to all of the villages. So now actually we're also taking Srila Prabhupada. And on the padayatra, he's leading up the procession. And that's, hopefully we'll get his special mercy to fulfill his desire of going on the, visiting all the villages. In front is Srila Prabhupada's books, so that people have the opportunity to have Srila Prabhupada's darshan and the darshan of his books. Of course, apart from seeing the books' covers, they'll also be able to read and purchase the books, but that's a separate area. I think it's Gujarati, because they're going to Gujarat. I took the... I think this is, you know, backwards. I was fanning the deity the entire way is backwards. These bulls, see how they're all very nicely decorated with bells and colored threads. Big horns. Pretty big horns. But they seem quite nice. The people were very, very enthusiastic people. I mean, Dwarka, the atmosphere in Dwarka is like being in Vrindavan or Mayapur. It's a very special atmosphere there. It's not an ordinary place. You can immediately feel that type of spiritual atmosphere. People had come from a long way to see this historical moment. People were very respectful, respectable and respectful both. Devotees, they kept up the kirtan going to go down this little hill in front of the Dwarkadish temple and then out the city. The first day we only went 8 kilometers. Normally they'll be going about 15 kilometers per day. The system is that the deity and the devotees, they'll be going like this by foot, by procession. But the rest of the camp, this big pots and everything will be taken by the buses and trucks. There's a pandal or a big tent for giving programs. And so every morning, camp will be broken, packed up into the trucks, taken forward to the next place. Here's some of the nectar being prepared. Ready, opulent prasadam. In the traditional way. Some of the local villagers, they're also very attracted. This actually, you don't have any pictures of the actual procession. Kali Krishna's here? No, but on the highway, you took picture on the road, is it, with the elephant and everything? Huh? Just in front of the temple. You went on, that's in front of the temple. Huh? To go through the... This is a... There's some displays there, but Lord Chaitanya's transcendental pastimes and worldwide and ISKCON activity display is supposed to be being sent from Los Angeles. We're still waiting for it to come. Expected any day. The devotees, the village leaders, they all came. They're very inspired to see Lord Chaitanya's programs. And every village they're going, they're establishing a Namhat branch. People, they didn't know so much about Lord Chaitanya before, but we can see that this is attracting so much interest. This is the tent where they had the evening program. Every night there's a program. Then they're just taking now their breakfast and then they're going to be walking off to the next village, which is 15 kilometers away. They go anywhere between 12 to 20 kilometers in a day. So normally they leave early in the morning with cool. It's a big job picking everything up though, because they have literally hundreds of boxes of generators and PA systems. Here's the elephant, but the elephant is actually... They have very nice decoration for the elephant. I don't know why. We took many pictures of that. I don't know why you didn't find any. I'd look upstairs. No, this is a special elephant procured simply... actually, Vishnupad donated about, what was it, five? At least 5,000 and maybe more dollars. So... Part of the budget was to have this elephant. So elephants, even in a village, I tell you, everyone,
Even in India, they like to see the elephant. So we have a nice decoration for the elephant. In fact, Lokanath Swami requested everyone not to go the first night. But they don't have, they have all kind of living tents and everything, but they didn't have time to set it all up. So most of the devotees were leaving. As they were leaving, the elephant is pushed against the bus. And by pushing against the bus, just like nothing, the whole side window of the bus smashed in. Glass was thrown all over Sridhar Swami. And so I decided that I wasn't going out of the camp. I immediately left the bus and just slept overnight with the devotees and the deity. Took it as a sign. Elephant, without any effort, it just kind of leaned over on the bus. Whole window smashed out. Very powerful. Here we're having a little get-together to get all the synchronization of the Namhat, the Padayatra. Meanwhile, of course, the Jagannath bus is also there, going to accompany the Padayatra to distribute books. So the local villagers were really happy to take darshan of Jagannath. The village people, when they saw that the devotees were thirsty, they carried water for the devotees. I brought my computer along. So we brought a little technology into the Padayatra. So we made a printout of all the departments of the Padayatra, since we had some experience on these things. That's it? Could have ended with Prabhupada or something. So basically, the Padayatra will be going for 18 months. Go from this, the far. Why did you take out that picture? It shows Dwarka as the place where the sun sets. Huh? You have a light table here, or is it all shifting out? Yes, you have one. You can go over it and make it. It'll be going along the western coast to the far southern tip of India, and then going up the eastern coast back to Mayapur. So that's about 6,000 kilometers. It works out. Takes about a year and a half. We're really hopeful that in some of the cities, literally hundreds of thousands of people will gather. Already people are just joining. They're just coming. Sometimes when the Padayatra got kind of a village, two people said, I'm going to join this Padayatra and follow it for the next 18 months. The family members were embracing them. There was weeping, you know. There's a whole emotional, you see, event they're going. They went off, started walking with the people. Some people came from two brothers and a sister, about 40 years old. They came from Bombay, said, we've come here to join the Padayatra. People are writing in piles of letters. We want to come and join the Padayatra. So expecting that as it goes on, we'll keep on picking out more and more people. And from one village, all the people of one village always walk to the next village. So there's like about 1,000 people every day going with the procession. It's very, I don't know where all the, I have to go through. There's many other very nice pictures which were taken when it was leaving through the town of the people. They all followed along. The procession was about a mile long, a kilometer long. Any questions? Each country has got its flag there. The flags haven't come from LA yet, but the flags are procured. Each country has a flag. This was one idea that press in India liked it, that all the devotees, wherever we have a temple in any country, the flag should be there somewhere. So showing it like Lord Chaitanya has so many followers around the world. Even in the Hong Kong newspaper, it published how that Hare Krishna was movement was observing the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking him in procession. The founder of the Hare Krishna movement, Lord Chaitanya, was being worshipped by the president of India and all the big people, and they was being taken in procession around India. They get very nice press. So this is actually already having some international effect, and as it goes on, we hope that it will reach more and more of the international eye, because especially the people are interested, because many people do this Padayatra, means to walk somewhere. They do this in India, but very rarely. Never has there been an international group. People from different countries coming. So that is attracting some attention from the public. from the media. Our purpose is to glorify Lord Chaitanya. There are many other aspects which in the cities they're putting up a three-day pandal program, and then the padayatra will come and meet that city program. And they have about 15 dioramas, displays, which also accompany. And then they have this display from Los Angeles, very nice display on reincarnation and different philosophical and temples of ISKCON around the world. And then you've seen already they have the Lord Chaitanya's pastimes display. And every day at 4:30 in the afternoon, they'll be distributing prasadam to all of the village people. And of course, the devotee will be taking prasad three times a day. It's a very purifying, I don't know exactly how to express it, it's really beyond expressing, but one gets a very intense feeling that the whole program is very much being dictated by Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Srila Prabhupada, and one can feel their presence very intensely when on this particular program. It's something very sublime. And Lord Chaitanya, they're giving them mercy. The people suddenly, they feel very happy. You can just see people, everyone just becomes very happy as soon as they hear about or they see the procession. It just something seems to like release that inner anandam from their heart.